Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas online. If you're watching online, Merry Christmas here. My name is Bill. I'm one of the pastors here, and I love Christmas. There's something special about Christmas. In fact, many of you have family members that are visiting you here, or maybe you're watching online because you're visiting family. We're delighted with that. Because many times, this indeed is the most wonderful time of the year. Amen? Does it feel like that way to you? I love Christmas songs. In fact, one of the songs that I love is It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, a song written by Andy Williams. Maybe you've heard it. It originally was a commercial jingle to make money, but turned into a Christmas favorite. Maybe you know it. It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's right, right. And one of the lyrics is, it's the happiest season of all. You know that lyric? That lyric turned me on my own head. It totally got inside my heart and messed with me one time about 15 years ago as I was driving in America in the snow and the rain. I was driving along listening to It's the happiest season of all, and I turned down a road, and at the end of the road, I saw black smoke from someone in our church, and their custom boat shop was going up in flames. Their livelihood, molds of custom boats that they had created over 20 years, was just being engulfed in flames. The whole family's livelihood, the family business, people in the family worked there all together, and it was gone with black smoke in an instant. And I come up to the family, having just heard this song on the radio, right before I turn the key off from the car, it's the happiest season of all. And then I go face to face with a family that just lost their livelihood. And I go to the owner, Sterling, and I said, oh, Sterling, I don't know what to say. And we talked back and forth, and as we talked back and forth, Sterling, who could have been thrust into the gloom and darkness because of the black smoke, the Sterling, the very one who lost 20 years of hard work, says something like, you know, even though I've lost everything, I haven't lost everything. Even though there's darkness, I can still walk in the light. If you don't understand what Sterling meant, I'm glad you're here. Because it's the most wonderful time of the year. Because let's face it, sometimes it's not the happiest season of all. It's not the happiest season. And maybe you've come here today and you've thought, boy, I want to explore church. I want to learn more about Jesus. I need something to change in my life because the Christmas markets and the songs and the decorations, they're just not doing it for me now. They're not lifting up my spirits. I'm glad you're here. Because today you're going to hear about Jesus, who's the light of the world. But for many of us who believe in Jesus, even though we believe in Jesus, sometimes it's a good reminder that we walk in his light because we can still face gloomy times. We can still find ourselves thrust into the throes of depression. Or maybe this Christmas is the first Christmas that you're going to have without a loved one that's passed away this last year. Maybe you're facing an uncertain future that has you stressed out, or the job or boss you have is putting you under pressure, and you're finding yourself a little gloomy. Maybe the gloom is shining from the inside out, and everyone thinks that everything is fine on the outside, but you have a secret that's just gnawing away at your heart, casting shadows from the inside. Whatever it is, many times, this can be a gloomy season, and we're going to hear about great news of us walking in the light together. And maybe you've come here today, and it is the happiest season of all. You've just been reunited from a kid that went off to university that's back for Christmas, or you have grandma and grandpa in town to meet with the kids, or you have a couple days coming off of work, whatever it is, maybe it is really happy for you. If it's happy for you, we are so glad you're happy. But that happiness won't last. Happiness can disappear with one message of receiving bad news. Happiness, dependent upon our circumstances, can just vanish at the first sign of conflict. Happiness can just be obliterated by bad news. We're talking about more than happiness today. We're talking about light in the midst of darkness. And we're going to see that the Bible's written to a group of people who were thrust into darkness. God's people in the Old Testament, there's a guy named Isaiah, and he was speaking on behalf of God. And the prophet Isaiah is talking to a group of people who were thrust into darkness. They were thrust into darkness. They faced military oppression. They faced attacks. They faced uncertainty of their future. They faced all sorts of injustice. They were a group of people thrust into the gloom. And we see that light is promised to them. In Isaiah 8, with verse 22, it says, "Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness." There's good news for those who walk in the darkness. Those who walk in the darkness, God doesn't say, "No, I'll just leave you there." No, God meets those who are in the darkness, right in the midst of darkness. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It says, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish." Turn to your neighbor and say, "There will be no gloom." Online, type in the chat section, "There will be no gloom." "There'll be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." On them light has shone. Those who are thrust into darkness, that God meets them and promises them light. You see, the reason that they were thrust into darkness is that they had turned their back on God. They had said, "God, we've got this. We don't need you." And they turned their back on God. God says, "Trust me in this. Trust me in this." And their rulers said, "No, God, we've got this. We don't need you." God says, "Follow me, seek me, have a relationship with me." And they said, "No, thanks, God, we've got this." You see, they rejected God. They rejected a connection with him. They rejected relying on him. They rejected God entirely. In fact, we're no different. We all have turned our backs. Each and every one of us has gone astray. We've done things our own way. In fact, we call it sin. Sin isn't just bad stuff we do. Sin is actually a posture in our hearts that says, "No thanks, God, I've got this. No thanks, God, I know what to do. No thanks, God, I can handle this." In fact, when you look at the word sin, S-I-N, the middle letter is I. I is at the center of the problem. The reason that we are thrust into darkness is that we've turned away from God, who's the source of light and life. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I am the problem." Some of you enjoyed that a lot. I heard the giggles of someone's like, "Finally." Right? "I am the problem. I am the problem." It's like, "No thanks, God. I've got this until I don't. But then, God, when I don't have it, I'm going to pray to you and I'll tell you exactly how I want you to solve it, because I know how to solve my problems more than you do." Like, so when we're thrust into darkness, we're like, oh God, this is kind of painful. I really need you, but I really need you to do this, and then this, and then this. And then I'll be okay. Like, that's our challenge. And during the Christmas season, chances are, sometime in your life, you have probably felt like, "Oh, it just doesn't feel like Christmas anymore." Like, whatever magic happened as a kid or whatever that lightness was in life, it just doesn't feel like that. And we have all these coping strategies that we try and repair when our gloomy mood sets in and we find out our mood is broken. In fact, there's a whole science called mood repair, right? There's a whole way of thinking called mood repair. And people say, "Oh, if you're gloomy during the holidays, if you're gloomy during Christmas, engage in mood repair." All these things that we try and do. We try and do cognitive reframing, which means we just tell ourselves it's not as bad as it actually is. "Oh, well, it's not that bad that I lost my job. I mean, I guess I like new opportunities." Or we engage in pleasurable activities. And let's face it, we live in the greatest city of activities, do we not? man, we have so many activities. And we think, oh, that Christmas market didn't work out. Let me watch this Christmas movie. No, that Christmas movie didn't work out. Let me get this Christmas food. Let me do Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. And you look everywhere and you think if you can participate in stuff that's on in Dubai, that your emotions can turn on and get out of the gloom. Or you think social connection will do it and you say, oh, I have to connect with other people. And there's nothing wrong with connecting with other people. The problem is when we say it's up to us to boost our mood. And maybe you planned that party and you said, oh, I just need to get together with my friends. And then you are hanging out with your friends and you're like, how long do we have to be together? This isn't doing it. Right? Or we have self-compassion, and we should be compassionate with ourselves. God is kind to us. We should be kind to ourselves. But if we think the solution is within ourselves, just to be nicer to ourselves, I don't trust me to be nice to me enough to boost my mood. Right? Because the problem is me. I've turned my back on God. Even spiritual practices, if you've come here today and you've thought, I think coming to church and the religious practice of me coming to church is going to boost my mood, I have to tell you, sitting inside of a hotel or watching something online is not going to boost your mood. Only God is the one that takes us from the darkness and brings us into the light. Amen. And so there's good news for us. There's good news for all of us. You turn to your neighbor, you said it before, there is no more gloom. There's no more gloom for us, not because we engage in good mood repair and we fix it on ourselves. There is no more gloom because God has done for us what we can't do for ourselves. And that's the good news of Isaiah 9. We see that there is no more gloom. There's no more gloom. Because those who walk in the darkness will be brought to the light. Not will bring themselves to the light. Not will boost their own moods. No, they'll be brought to the light. They'll be brought to the light through the person of Jesus. And we see in the person of Jesus all of this fulfilled. And that is God's exclamation point to us. That even though we face gloom, that we'll be brought to life. That's why we call this whole series No Longer Alone. We call this whole series No Longer Alone because Jesus is God's proof to us that we are no longer alone. In fact, Jesus fulfills all of Isaiah 9 that we're going to talk about today. In Matthew 4, it says this about Jesus. It says, leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. Remember from our verses before? To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. That's what we're in right now. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. To repent, to change your mind about something, to see reality, that change a changed mind that leads to a changed attitude, that leads to a changed behavior, to see the light has come. Just look at this light promised as we go back to Isaiah, a prophecy about Jesus. Look at what it says. It says in verse 3, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We see there are three great things that we get to embrace as we walk in the light. Because we believe that Jesus has brought us from darkness into light. And so here are three things that we get to embrace. The first that we see is a celebration of deliverance. A celebration of deliverance. Look in verse 3, it says, you have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy, and they rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. It paints the image of people who have sown the seed, they've watched it grow, they've labored hard, they've collected all the harvest, they've brought the harvest back, and they look at the bounty of food and they celebrate. Yes, this is awesome. Oh, this is so good. They also have people working together as a team, and they have an army that is victorious in battle, and the army has gone through hardships together, and they've pulled together, and they're victorious, and they're dividing the spoils of war. They are victorious together, and so they celebrate in victory. Now, some of us get quite passionate about celebrating. I've heard of great stories, particularly if you're into sports. And your sports team wins, right? Your sports team wins, and you are going crazy, and you're going, this is awesome, woo, yeah! And everyone looks around, and you're like, it's just a game. And you're like, it's not a game, it's life, right? We get passionate about celebrating. We love to celebrate, amen? Love to celebrate. We celebrate victory. In fact, I did some research, the most used emojis, looking for celebration emojis, and I found that in some countries, in 2023, the most popular emojis, some of them, like Spain and France, the UK, Italy, Russia, Thailand, in their top 10, they had the celebration emoji. That's awesome. I thought, wow, there are some places that use the celebration emoji. But I did notice that the Argentine flag is used more often than the celebration emoji. And even the skull is used more than the emoji. Hearts and skulls, and whatever it is, may we be marked as people who flood the world with celebration emojis because we have the greatest thing in the world to celebrate, Jesus' victory. Amen? May we be known to celebrate not what we've done, but what God has done through Jesus. May we be marked by celebration. May we be marked because that celebration is such good news. Even if you feel like you are down and gloomy, if you know Jesus, if you put your trust in Jesus, you are no longer alone. And that is something to celebrate. It's something to celebrate. So one is we have celebration from God's victory. The second aspect we want to participate in is liberation from oppression. We have liberation from oppression. We actually not only are victorious in Jesus, we are also free in Jesus. Liberation. Celebration and liberation. Look at the liberation in verses 4 and 5. It says, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. When it talks about the day of Midian, it references another true account of what happened, and there was a really big opposing army and then a little tiny army that God made teeny tiny, about this big, and there was no chance of victory against the great big bad guys. And all of a sudden, this army that was made really tiny by God had complete victory over the larger army. It says, even though the odds seem impossible, we have a God who is victorious in the impossible. He's done what we can't do. It says, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. The things used in battle will no longer be needed because there is liberation from oppression. Now, in Jesus, we have been fully liberated from our greatest enemy. Our greatest enemy is sin, our own rebellion, because the consequences of sin is death. And we have life in Jesus. And we have that life in Jesus, and it is a life of light. It's a life of freedom. Because of Jesus, we are free from our guilt. We're free from our guilt because we know when we've turned our back on God, we feel guilt. And maybe your whole entire life, you have been walking around with heavy guilt in your life, feeling that you're never good enough. You ever feel like that? Like, God, I'm never good enough. If you could see who I really was, there's no way you'd accept me. Guess what? God sees you exactly how you are. And still, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You're free from guilt because of Jesus' death and resurrection. You have that freedom from guilt, and so you don't have to always worry, God, I'm not good enough, I'm so guilty. No, you're right. You are not perfect. So quit trying to be perfect in order to earn God's love. You are already loved. Not because you've earned it, but because that is God's character. God loves you. You are free. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for your sin so you would not be guilty. And so when we're free from guilt, we can live free. We can celebrate freely. We can walk in the light because we are free and we're light. If you're not free from guilt, chances are you have one of two responses. The first response when you're not free from guilt is that you always feel like, oh, God, I'm going to make this up to you. God, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm going to go to church like every week for the next month, and then I'll make it up to you, God. And we try and earn God's favor instead of respond to his grace that's been showered on us. Or you go, God, I'm glad I'm free. I'm glad I'm free from guilt, but let me just make sure no one else breaks the rules, and you find yourself hypercritical of other people. Do you know anybody like that? That's always critical and like, you can't do that because it's a sin. You can't do that because it's a sin. You can't do that because it's a sin. You can't do that. No. May we stop burdening one another with legalism, knowing that we are free from guilt in Jesus. Amen? So not only are we free from guilt, but we are free from fear. We are free from fear. We no longer have to look at our shame and be worried, because if you trust in Jesus, you don't have to try and side with the strong man just to hedge your bets. You don't have to seek out a witch doctor for another source of strength, because Jesus is the strongest. And Jesus has already won. The battle isn't even a question. Jesus is victorious, so we don't have to fear. We know that in Jesus, we are already on the winning side. So we don't have to operate in two different realms saying, okay, I know I believe most of what God says, but just in case, let me make sure I go do this. We no longer have to wonder, what if? We know what is, that there is victory in Jesus. We are free from fear. Amen? So we're free from guilt, we're free from fear, but we're also free from shame. We're free from shame. The embarrassment, turning our backs on God, knowing that we are not perfect. We're free from shame. We no longer have to put up a mask to project an image of who we want other people to think we are, who we want God to think we are. Guess what? God can see you exactly how you are. God can see you exactly how you are. But still, and that's something I have to remind myself all the time, that I am free from shame. Because I imagine maybe you're like me, I do want to project an image of success or an image of godliness or a certain mask. We all wear masks. Anybody else wear a mask? What other people? Yeah? Good, there's some honest people. Some of you are like, no, I'm not going to raise my hand. I'm not one of those people. I remember one time we were at Mall of the Emirates on a Friday night at Carrefour, all right? Carrefour, Friday night, Mall of the Emirates. If you haven't been there before, it's probably because you're smart and you want to avoid all the crowds. I was there, it was a couple years ago, my kids were much younger. I wasn't having a good parenting moment at all. I was quite angry with my kids, and they were just horsing around being kids, and I looked over the kids, and I was like, children, you will not do that, right? Like, just like you do in Carrefour, right? Like, I was like, oh, and I heard someone say, in the midst of me going, I can't believe that you would do this, and they go, hi, pastor. And they were right there. I knew in that moment. I was so embarrassed of my own ungodly attitude towards my family. And everything in me wanted to go, hi. Oh, praise the Lord. I didn't, but instead I thought, wait a second, no. I am free from shame. I know I'm not perfect. Jesus died for my sins. I said, I'm really sorry. I'd love to talk with you. Let me just finish with my kids. And I turned around. May we be free from shame and free from pretending. May we be free. Now, we want that to shape our lives and doesn't give us license to treat people poorly, but may we be free and be able to share with others what's going on in our lives. That shadow from the inside that you may be projecting, maybe it's a secret from the past, maybe it's a hidden addiction, whatever it is, and you're just eaten up inside with internal shame that nobody knows about. Maybe you walk in the freedom from Jesus and you tell someone something you've never told them before, knowing that you no longer have to carry that shame. Jesus has carried that shame. And you get the help you desperately long for. We can celebrate. We have celebration of victory. We have liberation from oppression. But it all comes down to connection to the person of Jesus. Connection to the person of Jesus. It says, for to us a child is born, a son is given. That child is Jesus. That's right. You're biblical scholars, right? This prophecy refers to Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful means extraordinary or miraculous. Counselor means someone who's giving wise advice or making excellent plans. We see that in Jesus that there is extraordinary, there's miraculous wisdom in Jesus. If you are searching for wisdom, don't search for a saying, search for a person. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. He is a mighty God. It's a name for God himself. All throughout the Old Testament, we see mighty God referred to. We see that this child that will be given to us is God himself. Mighty God. Not a timid God or a questionable God or a pretty strong God. No. Mighty God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. We've said this before in previous messages, but maybe your earthly father wasn't the best dad. I want you to know that you have a heavenly father that is perfect. Maybe for you, you've lost your dad. I want you to know that our Heavenly Father is an everlasting Father. Perhaps you're away from your father. He was a good father, but you're away from him. I want you to know that this everlasting Father is with you no matter what country you call home. No matter where you are in the world, God is there with you. We have an everlasting Father. And lastly, we have a Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, a ruler to bring peace among his people, peace into our hearts, and one day peace on the whole world. We have peace with God because of Jesus. Romans 5:1 reminds us, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God? If you don't have peace with God, make today the day that you say, that's it. I want God to bring me from darkness into life. I want to put my trust in Jesus right here and now. I have some questions afterwards. We have people that would love to answer your questions after the service. Make today the day that your life is radically transformed by Jesus. Because indeed, we have celebration of deliverance and we have liberation from oppression. And we have connection with the person of Jesus. And that is the reason it's the most wonderful time of the year. Because our lives have been radically transformed. There were a group of people that were in our offices this week. And the group of people were getting together. Some staff, some volunteers from Creekside and so uptown here. People from all over Fellowship coming together. Getting Christmas decorations ready for the Christmas Eve service. And I walked around and I asked people what difference Jesus has made. And I said, if Jesus hadn't come bringing you from darkness into light, if Jesus hadn't rescued you, what would your life be like? And here's some things that they said. They said, I'd be a prisoner to my trauma. I'd be lost. I'd be without sight. It would be a never-ending dark tunnel. I wouldn't be alive. I would have sleepless nights. I would be scared and hopeless, lifeless, purposeless. Life would be colorless. I would be without joy, and I couldn't count on anything. But that's not our story, is it? No, we have been delivered from gloom into the light of life. Jesus has taken us from darkness into light. May we be marked by celebration. Amen? In fact, let's just, we can't, online you can write a celebration emoji. If your life has been transformed, you get to do the emoji right in the screen. Now, for those of us that are here live, we can't type it out right now, but maybe let's just sound it out, right? Whatever the celebration emoji looks like for you, maybe it's a, like, woo, maybe it's a, right? Let's sound it, ready? Go! See, you started early. The 9 o'clock, I had to give some examples. You're just transformed, right? Our life has been transformed from darkness into light. And that gives us reason to celebrate. May we be marked by celebration that we are no longer alone. We no longer have to be in the darkness and the gloom because to us a child has been given, God Himself, that has brought us from darkness into light. And that is great news. And so many times during Christmas, we think it's up to us, even as followers of Jesus, to go, oh, I feel like I'm a little gloomy, a little down. You know what? I just need another Christmas song. I just need to put up more Christmas decorations. Then it'll feel like Christmas. No, I just need a toffee nut latte from the coffee shop. We place all of our hopes and dreams on frivolous stuff, but we've already been moved from darkness into light. And it's not what we have done. That's the best news possible. The best news of this whole passage is in the last couple of words. The last couple of words. We know that those who walk in the darkness will be brought to light so we can rest in God's zeal. We don't have to do it. It's already been done. We rest in God's zeal. Look at what it says. It says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. I'm so glad it says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this and not Bill's efforts will be successful. I would be stuck in gloom. I'd be stuck in gloom because when we're down in that pit of gloom, there's nothing we can do to pull ourselves out. It says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Just look at what it means, God's zeal. Zeal is God's righteous jealousy. It's God's vigilance. It's God getting heated up, excited about this, fighting for this, supporting this. It's the zeal of God that accomplishes all of this so that we can rest in what God has already done. Those who walk in the darkness will be brought to light. May we rest in God's zeal. May we be marked by celebration. In fact, if you're going, woo, yeah, all right, yeah, woo, and or you're putting emojis on the chat, that's awesome. But maybe for you, you just need to celebrate what God has done, moving your life from darkness into light. If get out your phones and find someone in your contacts on WhatsApp and just send them a celebration emoji, all right? Just type celebration and you'll find that little, it's a party horn or it's a hat with the party horn, all right? And just send them that and say, ask me about celebration, all right? Ask me about it and see what they say. When they say, what's going on? This is weird. I've never seen you use celebration before. And you're like, yeah, I know. It's a new thing I'm trying out. Because we have lots to celebrate. We have celebration. We have liberation. We're free from guilt. We're free from fear. We're free from shame. May we walk in that freedom. May we walk in the freedom that we have in Jesus. And maybe for you, that first step is to confess to someone something that is keeping you in bondage. Maybe for you, you repent and you say, "That's it. I've got to change this. God, help me to change this. I'm not going to live in shame any longer." But may we experience a deep connection to Jesus, a connection that is accomplished by God's zeal, not our own efforts. God's zeal means that he will never leave you or forsake you. God's zeal means that he is right there with you. God's zeal means that he sees you when you're down. God's zeal means that he meets you where you're at and says, I see you. I love you. God's zeal means that there is nothing you can do that will take God's love away from you. His zeal says to us, come here, my child. His zeal to us takes our wounded and restless and busy hearts, and God says to us, come here. You can cease striving. You don't have to hurry. Just rest in my zeal. As we walk in a gloomy world, this week, may we walk in the light of Jesus, resting in God's zeal. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your reminder to us. Father, we celebrate what you have done, that while we were in darkness, that you rescued us and brought us into the light. Father, we thank you that it's not up to our own efforts. This is your zeal. Encourage us when we face situations that seem dark. We face relationships that are at a dead end. We face circumstances that seem hopeless. God, remind us that you are fighting for us. That you have made a definitive declaration of your love to us in the person and work of Jesus. May you help us this season to rest in your zeal. We thank you for your passion. We thank you for fighting for us. We thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus. Father, thank you for your zeal. May we walk in the light of Jesus, all for your glory. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.